Allegiance. Oh, call to order. Pledge allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the
United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, meeting is called to order. Will all who are presenting evidence in this room with the intent to testify, please stand and raise your right hand. Do you swear and affirm and attest that you are about to, what you are about to give is true and best, true to the best of your knowledge and ability?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Thank you. You may sit. Does the planning director go first, or does the attorney or the client go first?
However you want to answer.
All right, go first.
Works for
okay.
Me. Just before I start, so can you hear me? So I understand that we're all on the same page. Does the board have these?
You need to speak into the microphone. That way everybody in the room can hear you.
Is it on now?
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Just to make sure that we're on the same page, I want to make sure that the board has the appeal that we submitted. Is that considered in evidence in terms of this hearing? Wonderful.
Yeah,
that's very
that.
Long. Yeah, and that's very long, so I apologize for that.
Verbosity is your... Verbosity is a key word in your world, isn't it?
It is, yes. Well, there's a lot to cover, so I appreciate your patience and going through that. So to start out with, my name is Grant Frazier. I represent Arizona Unlimited Motorsports, LLC, which does business under the name of Time to Ride AZ, or Time to Ride for short. That's how I'll refer to it. You know, Mr. Corso, to your point, it's a very long appeal. I won't regurgitate all the facts that are in that appeal. The letter does a much better job of, I think, recounting what has happened than I can do in this hearing. So I won't waste our time with that. What I do want to do is two things primarily. So number one, the reason for the appeal, the intent of the appeal, and really what Time to Ride is asking for are all the same thing. And in my mind, there's a two levels of things that we're trying to achieve here. But the first most basic one is trying to receive clarification on the zoning ordinances that are at issue. So that's, in our view, what we've been trying to do for the better part of 8 months. And so even if this hearing doesn't result in the outcome that we believe is correct and that we hope for, we at least would prefer or desire to get a written explanation with the legal support and the justification for the zoning decision that is made so we can understand it, so we can adhere to it. Because at bottom, Time to Ride wants to be a member of the business community that adheres to the rules that are applicable here. And that's really what this has been about. And it's been a changing compliance target in our mind over the last, at least since I've been involved, over the last 8 months, which has made it difficult for us to do that. So before I get too much into the two aspects of the business, which I know you all know well, but the two aspects that are kind of at issue here are whether Time to Ride can service its own vehicles or maintain or whatever word you want to describe in terms of working on its own rental vehicles. And the second piece is whether it can provide those same services or similar services or even a subset of those services to third-party vehicles, so people in the community who own their own private ATVs, UTVs, and want to rent them, and they're not rent them, but want to have them serviced. Now, with regard to the first piece, I think it makes sense after I read through the town's response to our appeal. It seems as though the town now, their view, and so with your permission, I'd like to ask the town so we don't waste time on an issue that is already agreed upon. It seems from the response like the main issue in the town's view, or the only issue that's remaining, is the third-party services, so services for third-party vehicles. And I can give... For example, in the response on page 2 to 3. They talk about quote by which Mr. Tippett responded that minor repairs such as battery replacements, oil changes, tire changes, glass and or plastic windshield replacements, and spark plug belts and hose replacements would be allowed. Later on page 3, Ms. Bridge Denzik agreed that his, Joshua Law's, vehicles could be maintained as described by Mr. Tippett on site in support of the rental use, which is the primary use for the property, but all vehicles would need to be stored off-site and work recorded indoors. Page 3, Kevin Stuckey, the code enforcement officer, stating only the leased vehicles may be maintained in accordance with the business licenses. Later on page 3, acknowledging that all business licenses include parts and service, and that it was, quote, always understood by the parties, this is the town's words, always understood by the parties that parts and service refer to Mr. Law's own vehicles. Now, it was always understood by the town that service of his own vehicles was okay, and the business licenses were approved under that understanding, that leads me to believe they're now okay with Josh and Time to Ride providing those services, at least for his own rental fleet. And then finally on page 4, Ms. Bridge Denzik, along with the town's administration, eventually decided to move ahead with enforcement and limit service operations to only Mr. Amon's fleet. So again, indicating that at least for his own rental fleet, he may provide those services. And lastly, with the kind of summary paragraph at the end of the response that's in bold, it only talks about an ongoing violation of the zoning ordinance with regard to third-party vehicles, not his own vehicles. So I don't want to spend additional time addressing the first aspect if we're pretty much in agreement on that. So would it be possible to ask the town for their position on that and then reserve time to respond depending on the answer?
Are we looking for Ms. Bridge Denzik to provide that clarification?
Okay, Grant, I am the town attorney for Town of Carefree, and without limiting the information that's contained in the staff report that you were just referring to, I believe it is appropriate and agreeable to focus on the third-party aspect of your appeal. With that said, are you withdrawing all other aspects of your appeal, the alleged discriminatory aspects, et cetera, et cetera?
So I want to address that, and I appreciate you giving me the opportunity. With regard to the discriminatory piece, some of the stuff that's in the response is the first time that we saw it in terms of the letter that was sent to our bureau, which was the main competitor that we believed was receiving different treatment than ours. So to the extent that, you know, we filed the appeal without that knowledge. Now, I only, you know, received that a few days ago, looked at it a few days ago. So we're happy to reconsider our position of the discriminatory piece. Certainly with regard to this appeal, yeah. We will retract that aspect.
Okay.
And, sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt. No, I was going to say, if we can agree with regard to the rental, servicing the rental fleet, as it seems might be the case, that I think it probably reduces the scope of this hearing by 80%.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
May I assume from what I read in the packet that the drain to catch the pollutants has been satisfactorily installed?
So I will defer to Mr. Watts so I can get details. He also has details about addressing the fire aspects of the two failed fire reports,
right,
which have, to my knowledge, been addressed recently, and the fire marshal is coming out tomorrow and should confirm or deny that those fixes are satisfactory.
Yeah, so I saw that there were two failed reports.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, do I understand what we're doing now? We're dropping everything except whether or not, what are we doing at this point? What are we hearing?
It's the third party aspect of his appeal that is on the table. Okay. Everything else is okay.
It's so just fine. Just third parties. What about the fact that he is his own fleet? He's doing that work outside when it's not supposed to be done outside.
So I mean, based on the zoning ordinance, the repairs or the maintenance would have to happen indoors.
Okay.
By the ordinance.
I think that's
understood. Yeah. So I mean, if we can come, I mean, really the we can discuss the inside versus outside the fire. It's mainly if we agree roughly on it.
So our problem.
The problem.
I get
it. If the main aspect, which is whether rental vehicles can be serviced as long as they're serviced properly, if that's an agreed upon proposition, then I think we can drop that aspect.
Right. Based upon the list that that Mike Tippett said was not permitted.
Yeah, and just to make sure I completely understand, so we don't find ourselves, back here a few months from now, is that list, your understanding of that list, the list that is provided on the bottom of page 2 and top of page 3 of the town's response, or is it the list that is included in the notice letter to Harvard Bureau? Yes, I apologize. The town's response to the appeal. So the staff report? Yes. And then the bottom of page 2 and the very top of page 3.
So those lists are different. Let me just compare those lists. Yeah. Right. Well, let me compare it to the list that I think they were put together.
Yeah. No, that's a different one.
Yeah.
Good question about that.
Laundry list, that's what you're referring to, I think.
That's not actually what I was referring to, but we can use that one as well. There's a lot of lists that have been circulated.
Page 3, so. The only thing on there that is not really covered is testing and replacing brake pads and brake fluid.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else looks like it's okay to have a good check like that.
Okay.
I wonder if we should just run it by my ticket. Can we do that? I'd like to know if that list is acceptable to him.
And if he does testify, do I need you to administer the oath to him again?
Yes. Mike, where are you? Could you stand up and
do you swear and affirm that the testimony you are about to give is true to the best of your acknowledgement and ability?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay, this is a little unusual, Grant, with your permission. We'll let Mr. Tibbetts explain that list so that we're all on the same page.
Yeah, no, that sounds good to me.
I just want to make sure that this is
Page 3 of 13. Of our appeal. The bullet point list that starts with oil changes.
Okay, green light. Yes.
Madam Chairman, I have a clarification that I'd like to have. This list looks a lot like the list
that is in the town of Carthage response, May 4 letter to Harden Duro Outfitters. And in Harden Duro Outfitters, it says these activities are not permitted. Help me understand.
It was my impression that when they discovered that Harden Duro was doing that, they shut Harden Duro down from doing it also.
Exactly my point.
Because when it was brought to the town to look into the other businesses in town, Harden Duro was someone in the cellar, but they were solely sales, but they were offering oil changes and other services to third parties. They are a third party vendor, they're just sales also, they're not. Because I think that Peter wants to understand why we told Harden Duro that they could not provide the services that we're considering to allow Mr. Awad to continue to do his rental fleet. He's trying to understand that distinction.
Yeah. That might be a good question, Council, for some Commissioner Burns. But that's not really an issue today as to what happens with them.
That's right.
So we're not
going to
be able to respond to that question.
Madam Chairman, Mr. Wright, I'm confused because we're being asked to, I assume, the appeal originally said we want to be able to do this for all of our, you know, our time to write the appeal.
Correct, the rentals.
There was a third question that we'll get to later, but this list is identical to the list in the May 4 letter. It's pretty far like it don't apply. It's pretty much identical to the list on page 3 of 13. And the town, on one hand, is telling Hard to Endure, Hard to Endure, that you cannot do these things. And, but by our action, and I still have another question, by our action, we're then going to say to Time to Ride that you can do these things.
Apparently that's correct. And Harden Duro is, there are no issues in front of us today concerning Harden Duro.
Harden Duro would have to come back and appeal the town's ruling. That's not on the table today. It is my understanding.
These are just the issues for the time to ride, and the town's in agreement on those, and that's, I think, pretty much what does.
Okay.
Yeah,
the
Harden Duro wants to come back to us, so they have the right to do that, but it's not
okay.
Today.
I can understand that.
Okay.
Look at that, and answer, I think. Can I pursue other questions here? On page 4 of the town's response, at the top of the page, it says eventually the town administration eventually decided to move ahead with enforcement and limit service to only Mr. Awad's fleet because 1, 2, 3 says staff determined that it had no way to regulate repairs and maintenance operations of Mr. Awad's vehicles versus third party vehicles.
Right, but we just, that's not the case anymore. So the difference, Peter, is...
So you know that a vehicle that's in their bay is going to be either their vehicle, you know that that's their vehicle versus a third-party vehicle?
Well, if they're here in front of us testifying that they will only be servicing their fleet, see, the difference is that because they've got a different business model than Harden Duro. Not that we're here to discuss Harden Duro. This is all about a rental fleet and maintaining a business essentials that happens to be with include motorized vehicles versus them actually selling vehicles and servicing them as well and servicing just third parties versus servicing their own in case something occurred while somebody was renting a vehicle of theirs.
Yeah. And correct me if I'm wrong, but Mr. Frazier, didn't you say that you agreed to those terms that it would that your client would no longer service third-party vehicles? Didn't you say that was agreed to and was not at issue now?
No, sorry if I said that. If I did, I misspoke. I simply wanted to cleave off the issue of the rental plea to try to avoid this lengthy discussion, so I apologize, it kind of backfired. But to see what we were in agreement on and focus our efforts on stuff that we were only in disagreement on. So I still think there's an issue with the third-party aspect of this, but it makes no sense in my mind to fight over the rental plea service and repair aspect if we can come to an agreement both on that it is permitted if certain thresholds are met, like servicing inside is one that Ms. Bridge-Denzik mentioned a minute ago, installing the necessary fire equipment on the inside to make sure that the fire marshal is comfortable with the housing and liquid that may be flammable. Subject to agreement on those things, which I think we can talk more about what is being done, and also the oil separator, which you had asked about previously, we agree to adhere to those restrictions on the service aspect for the rental fleet.
Thank you for the clarification.
Yeah.
Management, do you wash the vehicles, the rental vehicles, et cetera, outside?
Outside.
Yeah, outside. When you're repairing one of your own fleet vehicles, you're going to get more kind of dirty one because you're not allowed to go outside and wash it. Correct.
Can you repeat that one more time?
If he's working on one of his rental fleets and it's dirty, you can't take it outside to wash it because that would violate the zoning ordinance that you have to do everything indoors. Correct. Take it someplace else to wash it.
That might actually violate the county restrictions on pollutants.
So, sorry, are you asking?
I'm just making sure that when he agrees, if we agree that what he's saying, when he carve out everything that has to do with his fleet, will be per ordinance, has to stay inside. Correct? Repairs and everything else. Is that what we're trying? You're trying to carve out?
Well, I believe that we were talking about just solely repairs, but the water issue in terms of pollutants from.
And isn't that the maintenance when you're maintaining your fleet vehicle? One of the things you do is wash it?
I mean, that's part of the question of why we're here,
yeah,
right?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't determined that's why we're just disagreeing over the list, right? So what the list is in terms of maintenance activities and what are not maintenance activities is the main reason why we're here today.
A follow-up question for staff. I understand the rear of that building is a city street. Is that a zero lot line, or is there a demarcated zone between the building footprint and the street?
There is some property associated with the backside of the building itself, but adjacent to it, yes, is right of way as well. So there is a small portion that's adjacent to the building, but for the most part, a lot of it is right of way.
Right of way. So the building perimeter, the boundary of the building, the wall of the building, there's some distance from there that's the property of the building itself, or is it because the street or not above up to the building?
The street is not above right up to the building at their Suite J. There's a small triangular piece of property that's associated with Mariachi Plaza.
Okay. And is it 20 feet wide? Is it 30 feet wide? Is it very similar? It's very small. And can you put one of those ATVs on that piece of property?
Yes. Yeah, he could put an ATV.
So it's got 20 feet wide from the bus line.
So just to clarify, I want to make sure, because we did a lot of intellectual exercise there. So are we still in agreement on the rental fleet aspect subject to the fire restrictions, the handling maintenance as listed in that list inside, and meeting the filter requirements, which I understand that the town is in the process of reviewing the permit application to install the oil separator?
I believe so, right?
Okay. So,
again, I'm being dilatory here, perhaps. I'm going back to page 3 of the town's response. But I have two questions. One, on page 3, it was the first full sentence. It was made clear that welding, engine rebuild, and or gasoline would be prohibited at this location due to the occupancy types and construction of the building. So, if he gets a building permit to fix the separation wall, does that mean that we're going to allow welding, engine rebuilds, and or gasoline in that structure? So that what we're permitting, regardless of whatever permit changes go on, I mean, I'm just trying to figure out what the understanding is here. It ends with the first period on page 3 of the town's response.
Chairman and board member, no, I think we just agreed to Mr. Frazier's response to page 3 of 13.
Okay, let me get there. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Let's not go too fast.
Sorry. No, you're good.
Okay.
So we just kind of sort of went through the list that was acceptable in terms of the rental fleet. It was the upper bullet items that we agreed to with Mike Tibbetts' help that was acceptable.
From oil change to tire rubber.
Mm-hmm. And it was the remaining 4 at the bottom of that list that would not be permitted.
Under any circumstances,
under any circumstance.
As long as it's not a service station with special use permit.
Exactly, correct.
So you agreeing with that?
Well, so that aspect is the second piece of this hearing that we technically are not agreeing to yet. I understand the town's position, or I believe I understand the town's position to be with regard to those service offerings and potentially the sale of gasoline and welding. Their view is that Arizona Unlimited Motorsports would need to apply for and secure a special use permit for a service station. And in that case, assuming that that application happened, which it hasn't yet, and that it was approved, then those services would be available. So there is a route to it happening. It's just we're not arguing that over that point, I guess, just yet.
Okay. I was under the impression that a service station, even with a special use permit, would not be allowed in the Mariachi Plaza. Is that correct?
So that is not
my understanding,
but I believe there's only one service station currently in existence, and it's the Legacy service station.
Yeah, Michelle.
But there's a process specifically for service use, or for service stations, a special use permit process just for them.
No, right, I understand the special use process, but I know that there are places where special use permits are not something that are acceptable for certain uses.
Understood. Yeah, at least my my analysis is that the property where Time to Ride is currently housed is zoned commercial, and under the current table that's laid out in the zoning ordinance, and I can find the exact page if the town disagrees.
So that your point is that because it might happen to be a gas station someday?
Well, we've thought about it. No, my point is, I think we agree on the rental fleet aspect of it, but the third party aspect, and this is where I think the town is drawing their comparison of why it's different from Hard Enduro, is we are only asking in the first part of this to service our rental vehicles. So that's something that is incident to the primary business, which is approved as opposed to a third party service. Right. That I think is a second issue, and I think the town's view is that that has to be done through a special use permit application process, which hasn't happened yet. That's almost explain. But I do think that
okay, so you were getting in gasoline and welding?
No. At least not as right now, but obviously we reserve the right to apply for a special use permit.
Rebuilding motors?
Sorry, can you say that one more time?
Rebuild motors or engines? I think engine is the right word. Not a motor.
So I mean, I can allow Josh to speak to
that. In your appeal, in number 2, you say that without a special use permit, you will not sell gasoline, rebuild motors, or well.
Yeah, correct.
So we're clear on you'd have to get a special use permit on in order to rebuild motors at that site.
I believe that is the case, but just to make sure, are you referencing page, which page of the
appeal? Probably page 13 and 15. No, 12. Hold on. I got so many papers here. Let me tell you. This was a labor of love to read all this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So you are correct. It's page 12 of 13 of our appeal. And you are correct. That is what we're asking for in number 2. So that being accepted, and we would still have to apply for the special use permit in order to do those things under what we are requesting.
To do those.
Yes.
I have a question back to the town administrator. If you agree to this, I just don't understand what the words and phrases in 5.02.20 that says repair shop does not include servicing or repair of motor vehicles. I mean, those words have to have some meaning. They're part of the code. And now we're going to wink and say, No, not if they're your own vehicle.
Well, I wouldn't characterize it that way. I think what we're saying is that Mr. Awad, his primary business is the rental of ATVs, UTVs, and other assorted jet skis, for example. And I think he's including some other things here in the near future. So in order to for him to be able to operate that type of business, this rental business, there's just certain things in terms of what he's renting that requires him to service his own fleet. I mean, in order to continue to run the business that he has the business model of a rental business.
So more minor repairs and maintenance rather than major.
Just right. To maintain his fleet so that he can continue to operate and rent those vehicles in the future, which includes washing them off and the list that we just kind of agreed to. And I think this is what Mr. Frazier is going to get to next, is the aspect of, because he's been also doing servicing and repairs of third-party vehicles. So I think that the town is comfortable with the fact that so that he can operate his business as a rental business, there's just certain things that come with that type of use. But what's happened is, in the town's opinion, is that it's kind of blossomed into an overall repair and service location for any vehicle. And that's what we're objecting to as a town.
This would reverse the town's June 1st decision. I think it was a decision where you stated that this time operations related to the service and repairs of any motorized vehicle, third party or and rental fleet, must cease. Mm-hmm. So you're reversing your position here. I believe that the June 1st letter is the determination that we're being asked, that's here on appeal.
That is correct, although if we are in agreement here, this constitutes a new decision by the planning director, then we would withdraw the appeal from the June 1st decision.
So we'd have to get a new decision? Procedurally, how would we proceed?
That would be easy. You would just modify your order.
We would modify it?
Yes, you would. Yeah.
So we would just, so that I understand procedurally what the motion would be for your point one of your appeal.
Yes.
We would reverse the planning administrator's decision if we accept the June 1 letter as being the decision.
Yes, correct. Yes. And the, at least that's the idea, then the specifics of it would be the list that we reference on page 3, subject to the additional.
On your page.
Yeah, apologies. On my appeal page 3, yeah, the bullet points.
Yeah.
Just the first set. Subject to the restrictions that we talked about with regard to the fire code, oil interceptor.
Okay.
Keeping the
vehicle. I'm sorry, the turf is shifting here very rapidly.
Understood.
What's a high level summary versus a low level summary?
Just looking at page 10.
Sorry, a high level.
Are you one of the terms you use as a high level summary? What does that mean?
It's supposed to mean I just spent 10 pages talking about something and I'm trying to give it to you in a few bullet points. To make it more digestible.
Like axiomatic, right?
Yeah. Okay. So if we're in agreement on that aspect of the appeal, then and the discriminatory piece is gone because we have new information now, so I apologize about Adam not getting something submitted sooner, but I'm glad we can address it here. I think the only aspect that is left, correct me if I'm wrong, is the third-party service aspect. Now, I'll say our main confusion and our main goal is still to get some type of detailed decision from the board that reasons through why Time to Ride cannot provide those services. Part of where our confusion has come from, and it could just be, you know, oh, sometimes talking through email creates more confusion than just getting on the phone. Unfortunately, I'm not stationed super close by, but I think part of it was there's these discussions regarding Harlan Bureau, and I realize we're not here to talk about that, but this discussion about it's okay to install goods, merchandise that Harlan Bureau sells in their store. It's okay for them to install it. But in our mind, I mean, what is the repair shop doing other than, you know, they can order a part from Jiffy Lube, but they're essentially selling it to the person who they're providing repair services for and then getting an upcharge specifically around the labor aspect. So on one hand, we received comments saying, well, if you sell these things, if you're a retail business and you sell these parts of merchandise, you can install them on your vehicles, but then at the same time, you can't provide service for third-party vehicles. So that raises the question in our mind, if we sell brake pads, can we install brake pads on third-party vehicles? Because we're selling the brake pad and then we're installing it, and that's part of it.
Is that based on your comparison to Enduro? I thought Enduro was out of the picture right now. We're not talking about Enduro.
No, I'm saying that brought up the question. So if I start from the very beginning of when I got involved, the way that we took the January 2022 meeting was Josh and Time to Ride could provide the services to third parties that were laid out in the bullet point list that we just agreed to. And then it changed.
We haven't agreed to anything.
That we agreed to in principle.
Okay.
And then the second...
At the time in that meeting.
Yes.
Not tonight.
That was our understanding. Then we sent a letter, which is, I believe, the first exhibit to my appeal, that lists the bullet points that we just referenced and said, our understanding after this meeting was these items are acceptable to provide to third parties and these items are not acceptable. Can you confirm so then we can order our business actions accordingly? In response to that, we received a no third party services allowed anymore. And then we asked why that is the case. And then it led to the comparison to Hard Enduro, and it seemed as though they were providing the very services that we had been told were not allowed. So that's the only reason I bring that part of Euro is because looking into if this is being applied consistently led us to the question of what is and what is not allowed. And if the town is saying you can install your merchandise, but there is no comparable difference in our minds in between we buy brake pads and we sell them to someone else with the labor component, how is that different than servicing a vehicle with brake pads and charging for it? That's where the confusion arose in our minds.
I have a question, and I don't know the answer to this, because we always use Tobias, which became Wilhelm, for servicing our vehicles. But if somebody went to an auto parts store and bought an auto part, the auto parts stores don't install them, do they? I mean, I don't know. I'm just assuming they don't.
I think it depends on the auto parts store.
Something like O'Reilly or...
Yeah, I don't think they usually install. They're merely a parts group, which is...
But I didn't know for a fact because we always, use the place up the street as a full-fledged mechanic.
Understood.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, what I think I heard you say is you had a meeting, and you wrote a letter after the meeting saying, this is what I think I heard us talk about. And when you're saying that was agreed to, the staff was saying, no, we didn't agree to anything. All right? So it looks as if you're trying to say to me, we were in a meeting together, and here's what I heard you say, and what I heard you say is absolute. Is that what's going on here? You issued the bullet point saying, this is what I heard you say, and we're saying, no, that's not what I meant.
So I don't necessarily take the town's response to say that. I think it was a change in position. Mr. Watt, who was also there, I was there with him, can testify to the fact that we both heard those things. It's pretty regular practice among attorneys that if you have a detailed, if it was an hour and a half long meeting with a lot of different things discussed, more compliance issues than we're just talking about today, that you reduce it to writing and make sure that you're on the same page, at least in terms of material terms.
When you do that, then I'll respond in writing, saying I disagree with what you wrote.
Well, the idea is that if people are operating in good faith in recounting that meeting, that they will agree that those were the terms, or they'll at least say, we disagree with your recounting, here's how they're different. So it was purely an attempt to make sure that we're on the same page before we took steps to try to comply with the terms.
Yeah, we were on the same page as what you're saying. I'm sorry.
Grant, I need to stop you. We have an objection. Obviously, the letters and the emails between you and the zoning administrator are in the record, but you're now testifying about your thought processes and why some of that occurred and stuff, and I'm objecting that because this should be just on the record here, and what your observations and why those letters were written and everything really is irrelevant. And so we object to that at this point in time. I would like the record to just stand on the written documents. You wrote a letter, the zoning administrator responded, and that's where it should stop, and that's my objection.
Sustained. I have a question for Ms. Bridge Bezek. What, if anything, changed between the time of June 21st and now, where there seems to be this confusion about what is and isn't allowed?
Well, I would go back to, as stated in the report that was given to you, that Mr. Frazier's involvement happened much a long time after our original conversations with Mr. Awal when he first came to town and proposed his business plan.
Yeah, Mr. Frazier keeps talking about June 21st.
I don't know, June
20th. Not June 1st, was it?
We're changing the reason that the direction changed from originally trying to work through these issues with the business owner to today and after the June 1st determination, I think is what you're referring to, is June 1st, is the fact that there were complaints from the water company that there was congestion in the area. There was complaints from the streets department, the town of Carefree Streets Department, that there was congestion in the area. We had received a second, but we did receive a first fire report in terms of an inspection that wasn't passed. And it felt like that while we had agreements in place, there was things that were exacerbating and the reasons why the town had felt originally about a third party actually speaking to Peter's point to a certain extent, why are we allowing some things for the rental fleet and some things that aren't allowed for a third-party fleet. All these things were exacerbating to the point where, really, that type of use, the rental component was a viable use, but everything associated with it was becoming a nuisance.
So yeah, that was all in the packet. I just wanted to get it on the record.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Grant.
Okay. So I just want to make sure one more time. Because we keep on seeming to circle back. Is the town still in agreement, at least on the first part? And if so, then I'll focus on the second part. But
So the town now is in agreement to allow for the servicing of his rental fleet, because the town isn't interested in trying to run a business out of Carefree. But we are trying to solve issues that, and hope we'll have a chance then to respond to some of the things that Mr. Frazier is saying as to how we've gotten to where we are today because of the fact that there were components of the rental business that have kind of expanded that are now causing the problems that we've had to try to work together and address. But like I had mentioned, we're not interested in having him leave the community if we can agree to and in good faith, you know, act accordingly based on what Mr. Frazier is offering, and that is the servicing of the rental fleet.
Right, that was the clarification I was looking for. Thank you.
Great. So now going back to the third-party aspect of the appeal, I believe is the only aspect left. Really, we, at least in terms of adversarial nature between the two sides. With regard to the third party, it was understood from us, as stated in the appeal from the original meeting, that we were allowed to provide a limited scope of third party services. We wrote the letter to try to confirm that in writing. Then things started kind of taking a step backwards in our view, and that's what we laid out in the high level summary. And what injected additional uncertainty into that is the communications that we also referenced about installation of parts and merchandise and how that differs from providing a service where you usually charge for both the part that you are replacing with the service and then also the labor behind the service as well as obviously some type of profit margin. So the main part of the appeal with regard to that aspect, which is in our minds not a secondary aspect, but is not as clear from our vantage, and we don't believe from the cities, from the towns, is where do you draw the line in between allowing installation of parts, if that truly is still allowed, if that's the town's position? What does that mean if Time to Ride starts selling brake pads? Can they install the brake pads? Is that acceptable? And if not, then where do you draw the line between that and service, which is not allowed? And it's really just us trying to figure out what that is, and if anyone is able to look at the zoning ordinance and tell where to draw that line, they're much smarter than I am, because I am not able to find it. So we're genuinely asking for the board's, you know, opinion of that and take on that and justification for it.
And again, I'm not trying to be adversarial in any way. I mean, I'd like to see this smoothed out where it's a win-win, because that's how life should be. Then everybody wants to keep playing. But is there any place other than Time to Ride where if people buy the parts, they can take them to have them installed? I mean, are there any other shops that do that in this area? Or is that it, and if they can't do it, it can't get done?
Well, so it's our understanding, excuse me, this might be out of the record, but you asked, so it's our understanding that Hard Enduro was doing that. I think most body shops that are not just pure parts shops, but they sell you both the parts and the labor and the service.
In Gear 3?
If there's another one in Gear 3.
No, I'm just asking in the area.
So Josh can speak to this better than I can. My understanding is there's not any comparable business, which is part of the value, and I think why so many people have showed up here today to support. I believe most of the people showed up to support Time to Ride, but they can speak for themselves. If that's allowed. But I believe it's the fact that there's not another option for this type of service.
Okay, I didn't know if regular auto repair shops worked on those types of vehicles.
Yeah. Is that correct, Jeff?
The closest dealership is probably about 30 minutes or so away.
Not necessarily dealerships, but I mean independent shops like Wilhelm. I've never seen one here, but I don't know if they have the ability to work on those types of vehicles.
I can't speak on behalf of Wilhelm, but I've never seen an offer.
I just was using that as an example, because that's what we use. I mean, are regular auto shops able to install parts on those types of vehicles, or are they a real specialty? Are regular auto repair shops able to install parts on those types of vehicles, or are they so specialized that they need a specialty shop to do the work on them?
I think the experience comes as a specialty job.
Yeah, my sense is with a lot, a little bit I don't know about ATV, you got to think of some place where this cannot know what they're doing, right? Which is, for that, it's your product line.
Yes.
And you can't take them down to Chevy dealership because they don't want to put.
I mean, that is my understanding.
Yeah, that's what I'm on here. You can't take it to somebody who knows what they're doing with that particular product.
Yeah.
I have a question, Counselor. You made us, repeat what you said about us interpreting an ordinance for you, that you want us to tell you what something means. What did you mean? What was that about?
Yeah, so all I meant was a large part of, I think, why things settled down with the town was we kept on asking, can you give a detailed explanation for your position so we can understand it and digest it? And we didn't feel like we got that. And we got to the end of the road where, in our view, the town just said, we've given you our final decision and we had a certain timeline to appeal. So we appealed. Our view, based off of the circumstances that we've talked about, is that the third-party service is allowed. I don't see it explicitly not allowed. And logically, I don't know why, if the worry is provision of certain services and whether they're dangerous or not, providing those services for your own vehicles is materially different than providing them for a third party. It's just who the owner of the vehicle is. And given that, that's certainly our view, but in general, we want a more reasoned, or at least a more explained, justified decision that even if it doesn't go our way, we can live with, because...
So you don't like the words, you like to have them interpreted for you in the way that you would like them. Because you're a wordsmith, correct?
I'd like to think myself a wordsmith.
So you've got, because there's even words. Hope you're not paying by the word, because she's going to cluck you, okay? But I'm trying to understand, you're coming to us, we're saying to you, here's what it says. You read it, and you don't like it. So you want us to explain it further. And why would the ordinance says what it says?
I have a question for Mr. Wright. Isn't our interpretation of that a legislative act rather than a judicial?
Yes, and you know, I'm about ready to get stopped, Brent, again. Brent, you know, Denise, if you want to call your client to testify about some things, that's perfectly permissible. But you continue to keep talking about what we thought and what we understood and all of that, and I just have to object on the record that that is really not evidence that should be presented to this board of investments. But, you know, with that said, perhaps you can call your client to talk about whatever issues that he's concerned about.
Yeah, so Michael, I get it. I respect your comments. I will just say I'm not going out and saying things on my own. I'm responding to the people on the board. And so
I sustain the objection because I think that that's out of our wheelhouse.
Yeah.
And I think we have the jurisdiction to go into that.
Yeah, the ordinance says what it says.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
With that said, if I can call up Josh to speak on his own behalf. We much appreciate it. Otherwise, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. My name is Josh. I'm the owner of Time to Ride. I want to address some of the things that was spoken on the fire failed report. We have addressed it. It just took a while to get the yellow flammable cabinet that's out of stock. And I think his name was Ryan Wick, knew it. He knew he was working with us and stuff. So I do have pictures to show that everything that has been noted in his report has been rectified and taken care of. If you guys wish to see that?
Maybe submit that into evidence, please.
Sure.
Yeah. And the fire extinguishers and some
We even did, he only requested the fire extinguisher to be on the main door. We ended up doing it on both doors, but exit signs, an extra fire extinguisher
to
here as well.
Yeah, you can never have too many of those puppies.
Yeah.
Okay, permission to report are the witness.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Permission granted.
I have some questions about this. Who took these pictures?
I did.
When did you
take them? Excuse me, Mr. Wright, could you please speak into the microphone?
I asked you, who took the pictures?
I did.
And you took them today?
Correct. I got a photo stamp on my phone. If you need to see them.
Tell me, let's go through, tell me what each one of them reportedly depicts.
Okay. This is the front page, or the front door. This is the door that Mr. Ryan requested an exit sign and fire extinguisher.
And that picture is being presented by you for what reason?
Well, the town has reported that we failed the retro fire report or an inspection, so I'm showing that we, in good faith, are working with retro fire to rectify the issue.
Okay. The problem I have with this is my objection, and that's not really an issue.
Mr. Wright, in the microphone.
That's not really an issue presented to this board of adjustment. And it's really off the reservation and out of bounds and irrelevant at this point in time. Is it something that you can deal with later? But is it part of your opinion?
So I think it's part of our response, if I may speak again, it's part of our response to the town's, part of our reply to the town's response. They raised fire compliance being an issue, something that we did not address in our appeal. And this is evidence that directly shows, while it has not yet been approved by the fire marshal, we said earlier that's going to happen, expected to happen tomorrow, that good faith efforts have been made to address that. And that's one of the worries that the town has expressed with regard to agreeing on the first aspect of the appeal. So I do think it's relevant with regard to Time to Ride's intent to and efforts to comply with what appears to be, I hope, still an agreement with the town.
That evidence may be relevant at some point in time, but not now. We object to the admission of that evidence.
Okay, sustained. we need to keep it just to the documents.
Yeah. Well, I had a speech, but you know, if they're going to agree to allow me to maintain my vehicle, then what I'm going to focus on is what the city's requesting as or speaking as a parts and service. So I can clarify some of the, concerns you have. The maintenance that we do on our vehicles would be the same maintenance we do on a third-party vehicle. So it's not going to be anything different, anything outside of the scope that the city has recently approved. To talk about the business itself, I don't know if you guys have looked this up, but we're focusing on off-road rentals. We're a self-guided tour company, so we're a tourist business. Our drive is to bring tourists to the town. We do it very effectively, and the other businesses around us benefit from it. You've got the coffee shop that a lot of our customers go to, and it's a revenue stream for Lars. You've got Bricks that the guys come back and they want a cold beer. They go up there and get a cold beer when they get back. And it also brings customers that would not come to Cape Creek unless it was our business. Which is bachelor parties, bachelorette parties, stuff like that.
Mr. Aylward, at this point in time, Council, I have to object. This testimony is way off the reservation. It's not relevant. It's not supported by any kind of document system. It's just totally unsupported and not relevant at this point in time. It's just his hearsay statements and real facts. There's no support for it.
Please keep to the documents, guys.
Madam Chair, may I ask a question? What percentage of your business is third party, Josh?
I would say about 30-35%.
Is third party vehicle to be maintained that you maintain?
Correct. Correct.
To clarify those, that's what it was before you stopped providing third party services, is that correct?
And my impression that I got was that the biggest problem with servicing third-party vehicles as well as your own was that it was causing congestion where there was difficulty accessing the water company and the public works department and some of the other businesses. I mean, it seems to me that congestion is one of the biggest issues. Do you have room to do all of this inside of your building?
As far as the... So I think what the town is referring to is possibly the washing of the vehicles. I wish Carefree Water would have brought this up to us personally and we would have got it resolved and said, this is a new issue that I just learned about. So,
is there referring to the washing of the vehicles? Is his impression correct?
I didn't know Carefree Water was the complaint.
If I may, Madam Chairman, no, the complaint, the original complaint, did not derive from Carefree Water, I think, nor did it derive from the Streets Department and the Town of Carefree. It was as we were progressing through and trying to work this out from when we first met from day one versus then when Mr. Frazier stepped in and became involved. And then as we got into the June issue, the Carefree Water Company let us know that there were a couple of occasions where because they have a water standpipe, they have customers that fill their trucks. They could not access it a couple of occasions. And same with the streets department, they couldn't maneuver through to get, you know, we have that that lot, our storage lot in the back down beyond your building. And so that's really kind of where this was all going, is that this third-party aspect was causing more nuisance. And that was the reason why the town was objecting, in the sense that we understood that in order to run your business, as was shown on, as you had applied for all of the business permits, it was a rental business. There was never any time, as Mr. Frazier is suggesting, that while we had communications by email, and I agree email can get difficult because you're interpreting it in one way or another, but the parts and sales portion of your business was never defined from the moment that we first met, before Mr. Frazier's involvement, to his involvement, and then today, and now as Mr. Frazier is saying, well, why can't we do this, why can't we do that, because that's not what you told us your business model was about. And I did say, and it is in the documents and one of the emails, that yes, we could talk about that at a future date if that's the business model that you're looking to expand. But we're trying to just deal with right now the issue and the violations and the that are relating to the third party repairs and service of vehicles. And so I think it's important to note that because so we're trying to get back to the aspect of, you know, you had asked where the complaint came from. It didn't it wasn't generated. I didn't take in the original complaint.
Well, I know that keeping circulation open is one of our ordinances, and I was under the impression that the congestion was interfering with circulation in that center. Did I misunderstand that?
This goes back to why we have the ordinance the way that we have the ordinance, and why, you know, we have special use permits that pertain to repair and service locations for motorized vehicles, and they're associated with a gas station, typically a service station. So working backwards and trying to resolve the issue with a rental business while it was related to the necessitating him to do some maintenance so that he could continue his rental business, it became more of a nuisance because it was becoming something that the ordinance restricted.
Right, it just overflowed.
Can I ask the question is how many vehicles we're talking about from a rental system?
When we first started, we had obviously a small amount of vehicles. It's now, if we counted all the equipment, probably somewhere in the ballpark of 40, 45 units.
Okay, so that's ATVs and...
Yes, ATVs, UTVs.
Where are your store?
I store in the alley in the back of that alley. So that I can clarify, the units are brought up after they're rented. So if the units are rented and it leaves, we'll replenish it with another unit up front so that we're still advertising what we do. We do not pull all those units up, but I don't want any miscommunication or misunderstanding. We do not pull all 40 units up. There are times where those units are rented and they're out there and they'll come back at one time. Do we struggle with putting these cars where they need to be? Yes. Sometimes it's overwhelming. So that we're understanding, a very small portion of my business is parts and service. The nuisance of this and that may be the amount of vehicles that we have. I don't think has anything to do with the parts.
I'm not sure. Follow up on that.
One follow up question: how large is your facility in square feet?
As far as the
rental
building,
yeah,
I think about 2,000 square feet.
Okay, so it's relatively small, and you do everything in there.
Yeah, it's usually about maybe 15-20 minutes with the customer, and then they're gone. They'll show up, we'll check them in, go through our operation, and send them out.
How many vehicles can you maintain inside? If you're doing chip repairs to one of your vehicles, one of the times inside, look.
Yes.
So you can't fit two in the back.
There's two bays back there.
Two bays. Yeah. Okay. Question for you is, when the third party was coming in, you know, while we're doing this business, third party came in on one of my ATV fixed, and your bays were full. You couldn't get to it till Wednesday afternoon. What do you do with that vehicle at that point? You said it's harm with the owner?
It gets parked in the yard in the back.
It gets parked where?
In the yard in the back. It's never, the public never sees it. It gets parked in the yard in the back.
And that yard is part of your lease with the shopping center or something, is that?
Yeah. Well, it's not part of the shopping center. It's a different.
Different lease.
Different.
Okay. So it's not back in the box. Yeah. Okay. So that's part of our
parking lot. Parking lot?
What's that?
That's basically your storage parking lot.
That's where we store our units, yeah.
So that's not an issue then, the fact that it's
away from
the front of the parking lot.
Away from the street. Away from the
so earlier when you said you parked them in the alleyway, you were talking about the yard.
Correct. Right.
Okay.
Well, we're not talking Everett Way or whatever.
No. That is a separate fence.
Yard, in that fenced yard in the back.
In the back, yes.
Yeah. We're asking a lot of questions. No, I think we honestly are trying to understand all the different points of view.
What are the limit pursuit?
Yeah.
Is it the city's acknowledgement on the first business application that I did click retail sales on that application?
I don't know, there are several applications.
So I think we're going to base everything off the first single application, right?
Stacy, if you were selling a series of equipment to a third party that comes in the door and wants to buy them in Buffalo, lack of a better term. Right. He's allowed to sell that, right? He's just not allowed to sell them.
Well, to answer that, yes. I mean,
so he can have an inventory of parts for ATVs, sell them to somebody, they can take the part home or to wherever they want to go.
Right. Retail sales are allowed in a commercial shopping center, but again, we're trying to focus back on the fact that that wasn't a component, in my opinion, when Mr. Awad came to the town to talk about his plans, and I think I sort of outlined that in the report. And no, I would look to all the business licenses. I don't think I saw one that had retail, but I have to
retail is checked in
2019 and 2020.
Retail is checked in 2019.
And 2020, I believe,
as well.
Yeah.
But not in 2021.
I don't know an entrepreneur in the world that checks all the boxes correctly, okay? I just don't, you know? Josh, you're a hell of an entrepreneur. It sounds like you congratulated for that. But if you can check the wrong boxes, we can fix that, okay? The problem, it seems to me, is whether or not you can work on other people's vehicles there. You can sell them stuff to take home with them.
Right.
You didn't check those boxes, come back, give them an application, check the box. Right? You're an entrepreneur. A lot of details to take care of, right? So, all we're really talking about is narrow down. Can you fix my ATV if I had one? The answer is no. Can you send somebody over to my house to fix it?
So, for Member Corso, so yes, I do see where that was checked off on the business licenses. But I would again reiterate that the main description was rental. And also the early conversations with Mr. Awad that included Mike Tibbetts and other members of town staff was only a discussion of a rental business of ATV, UTV, and jet skis.
Mm-hmm. And as far as the nearest repair shop for those being a half an hour away, a lot of people take their cars to dealerships, which are a half an hour or more away. When we got our Lincoln, we were taking it down to was under extended warranty for the first 3 years. We were taking it down to Sanders and Lincoln and I-17 and Bell.
Sure.
I mean, that there are...
I can say the added benefit for our customers is we saw a lot of parts, kind of like what he was saying. So 9 out of 10 times, we have a lot of experience with these cars because of the abnormal wear and tear, and we're able to repair these vehicles when we were for these customers very quickly. We can identify things very quickly because we see things in abnormal wear and tear.
Okay, I'm going to let him restate his question and let's get a nice clean answer for it.
I think she acknowledged that it did say retail sales.
Yeah, so we can restate it. Is it the town's position or does the town acknowledge that in the 2020 and 2019 business applications that are part of the record already, that they check off the retail sales box?
The town acknowledges that, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
One more question.
Yes.
Going back to the number or size of your business, you would then suggest that third-party service would be approximately a third, as you said, so you're talking another 15 vehicles.
I think at any given time we may have like three vehicles.
Three
vehicles, yeah.
And then you're expanding or like to grow a little bit more from a 4 to 5?
Yeah.
How big do you think you might get?
To be honest, I think we've reached the point where we're happy.
This is a saturation point where
it's a struggle to get employees. And to maintain a fleet that big, you have to have certain amount of employees. And it's,
yeah, everybody has that struggle.
Yeah.
Scale a little bit.
Chuck it.
Mm-hmm.
So really, I think the point that Josh was making, that I was trying to make before, and he probably did a better job of it than I did, is the retail sale aspect. If we agree that the retail sales were boxes checked, if we agree that retail sales you can sell the part, and then we saw in the communications that are also part of the record that Arden Duro was being told that they can install the parts that they sell.
Again, no more Arden Duro, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Josh, you can submit an application, check the right boxes, more and more, right?
That's good. Check every box. So without, I guess I'll put it this way. If the retail sale box was checked, and it's the town's view that if you do retail sales on a vehicle, whether it's ATV, UTV, or a dirt bike, and you can install those parts, it was our take, and our argument that we made in here, that you should be able to install those parts.
And do it indoors?
Yes. And same with the fire requirements and the drainage requirements.
What is the temperature on this?
Let's have the client testify. I keep hearing you testify, and you know, I appreciate that, but not on this record. Let's let your client testify about whatever the facts and evidence that he wants to present to this board of adjustment.
So, to be fair, in response, everything I just said is in our appeal, so it's in the record.
Well, I understand
it
that.
It's relevant because it's our argument, our legal argument around why we are asserting the appeal.
You'll get a chance to close it. Make whatever you make it, whatever you make.
With all due respect, you've been talking as Mr. Stanzik has as well, so I'm just doing the same thing.
Got it, thanks. But, yes.
Okay. I guess just to close, I'm a happy business here. I want to stay here. I want to grow here. I like my community, and I want to work for the city. I want to comply with, you know, whatever resolution we could come to. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
I have a question.
Yes.
When you originally started talking to the town, were you clear that you were going to do third-party repair and service?
I know I was.
Okay, I'll have a question for the attorney when we get back to it. Thanks.
So I guess at this point, unless the board has any other questions, I will close with saying I hope we are in agreement with the town, at least on the first aspect, and that can be resolved here this evening or soon thereafter. With regard to the second aspect, which is the third-party service, it is our view, as we laid out in the appeal, that we were told that the town's position was that third-party services would be allowed. That changed. We don't know why. We asked for an explanation.
Question.
Yes.
Where other than a recounting of a meeting, is there anywhere in writing that the town indicated that they would approve and support service or maintenance or service or repair of third-party vehicles? Anywhere, any document?
Yeah, no, unfortunately, it's not in writing.
It's your interpretation of what you heard in the meeting that you issued the next day, the minutes of the meeting.
Well, the individuals are here that were in that meeting.
Josh, would you mind standing up so I can ask you some questions about the meeting? The January 22nd, 2022 meeting, what do you remember about the conversation regarding third-party service and what was allowed and what was not allowed?
I think Mike Tidwick we were talking with him, and his main concern was what we're doing, the list that was referred to earlier. And I was under the impression that if we did what was outlined, then it was an acceptable service. As long as we're going outside of scope, his main concern was the rebuilds, the fuel, which I told him we don't store fuel there, they go to the gas station, Shell gas station, and then the engine rebuild. Those were the main concerns that Mike Tibbett had.
So were the third-party services that we agreed to with regard to servicing your own vehicles on that bullet point list earlier, and I can show you if you want to refresh yourself. So your recollection of that meeting, that those were approved uses or crude services to provide to third parties.
Yes.
Again, we are not a legislative body. We cannot make those kinds of determinations.
I think it's just for clarification.
It's just right. Clarification. It's the point being, the playing field changed in our view. We wanted an explanation for it. Unfortunately, in our view, we haven't received a satisfactory explanation. And based off of the positions that the town has taken, it's reasonable that third-party service would be provided because we don't view that as any different from installation of parts that are sold under a retail store.
Now,
so, yes.
You know, when a court interprets a statute, they have to give meaning to all the words that are in the statute.
Yes.
Okay. So we have an ordinance here that says repair shops does not include servicing or repair of motor vehicles. Those are provided for under the special use permit. So, under your interpretation, what life does that have by 0220? What life does that have if we allow third-party repair? I mean, by operation, if not by fact, they become service stations without a special use permit.
I agree, it's a great question, and I think that's a question we've been asking all along.
Your responsibility as an attorney is to offer a plausible explanation of what that statute might have meant to assist us to interpret it favorably to you. I mean, if you go to Black's Law Dictionary or some other source, Inside Law or whatever those things are, did you ever develop a definition of servicing or repair of motor vehicles that would sustain what you would like to have done?
I mean, the definition would be what we've asked for, but that's because service and maintenance is not defined under the zoning ordinance. So there are terms that are not given any definitive meaning, and that's really what we ask for. But
okay,
let's
talk about what servicing or repair would mean in common language, which is, if there's no statutory definition, you'd go to that. And wouldn't servicing, I mean, repair is repairing something that's broken.
Correct.
So that would be a cracked windshield, which is one of the things that you would like to put in here. Servicing would be an oil change. Or it's not broken, it just needs maintenance. So all of these activities seem to me, or a lot of them, except we took out rebuild motors. So those are service or repair. Our ordinance says that can only happen in a service station. Now, the town has made an interpretation that if you're doing it on your own inventory, that's permissible. But so, okay, I may or may not go along with that, but I can at least understand the logic that gets into your inventory. Explain how I had these words, servicing or repair of motor vehicles, in concert with the interpretation that you would like us to adopt.
Yes, understood. So, I know I'm harping back to something that you don't want to talk about, but the installation of parts, right? If you sell a part,
well, don't tell me what. Give me a definition. You're presenting to me that, or to the panel, that we have to come up with a burden of proof to justify this.
Correct.
And I'm saying to you, bring me a proposal, the language that allows me to interpret it in concert with those with black letter laws.
Understood. I think it's definitely not as clear as it is with servicing your own rental fleet. I do think things that would fall under the scope of permissible based off of the installation of service, the installation of parts in a retail shop would be if you don't need to change out your brake pads and you want to upgrade your brake pads. Right, you go in and you buy nicer brake pads. You buy higher performance brake pads.
But under 50324, which is special use permit for service station, It specifically cites vehicle repair, tire shops, window replacement repair, body shop, and other similar uses. All of those people buy parts, mark them up, and install them. I understand what you want to do, but we have an ordinance that says it doesn't include motor vehicles. And we're kind of, in my judgment, winking a nod and saying it's your inventory, so you can maintain your inventory. And now you're asking us to go to third party. And you've got to give me a hook to get, she has a hook to get you your inventory. You haven't given me a hook that allows me to to ignore that provision and let you do third party.
I actually was an audience of one years ago when the zoning ordinances were updated one of the times where they added the preclusion of service or vehicle repair shops in there, right?
I have another question about Peter's line. We can go over bullet points. You want us to approve all other recommended service for the service manuals?
Yeah, that's another
question. I don't know. I'm talking about trucks. Is that what you mean by that? Everything is. I've never seen a service manual for an ATV. Is that a whole one?
I have one.
Pardon?
I have one.
I mean, Councilor, what are you doing here? This is gamesmanship. You want us to approve something that's an open-ended, blank check? Anything that's in the service manual?
So I had a non-open-ended list, but that didn't give you a good reception either. So I'm trying. I mean, I wrote however many letters are in here that you read all of them, that I've listed them, and I tried asking, will you tell me what is allowed and what is not allowed?
Yeah,
and I wouldn't get an answer.
To respond to that, I didn't see a proper of a definition. I'm looking for a hook. You haven't given me a hook. You've never provided a hook. You just haven't. That allows me to get from to look at the ordinance, servicing and repair of motor vehicles. I understand the hook. I may not agree with it, but on inventory. But you haven't given me any hook to get to third party.
And as long as I've been paying attention, which is a very long time, these activities have not been allowed in Carabrie per ordinance.
Understood.
And you're asking, you don't understand it, so you want us to explain it to you. Give us your interpretation if you don't understand it.
So my interpretation is...
Yeah.
I realize.
It's a rogue. It's a rogue. I mean, what are we talking about?
I think the justification, and it's not super clear, which we have said from, I think, the very beginning, is the inventory piece. If you're a retail sale shop and you sell brake pads, if the town has said you can sell brake pads and you can install a brake pad that you sell, I view that as the same thing, and I think you both view that as the same thing as essentially a service shop, because whether you call it service or whether you call it selling the parts and installing the parts, it's the same thing.
And yeah, AutoZone doesn't install the parts.
Where does the code say that you can install it?
Where does the code say that you can install the parts?
Yeah.
I took that from what the town said in the correspondence, which is in here.
Thank you very much. I'm sure we'll watch what somebody else wrote. Okay, good.
Well, it's the planning director's job to interpret the zoning ordinance. So I don't. If a business owner can't take the planning director's word for interpretation,
but the planning director's word is that it's not third party. And it also said, at one point it said that it wasn't inventory either. So, go ahead.
Understood. I get it. I think we agree to disagree on the third party aspect. So,
yeah. And
that's
your
fair.
Responsibility to give us a hook to allow that interpretation other than trying to draw some kind of another analogy to somebody that's not a party to this. I mean, we have to give life to that servicing and repair of motor vehicle phraseology.
Understood.
It has to mean something.
Understood.
And you're not giving me a way through the woods there.
Josh, your business is going to survive if you don't have third party maintenance?
I can tell you, we haven't been able to cover overhead in 3 months. So during the summer,
summertime stuff. Yeah, this year, summertime stuff.
As a business person, you try to look for other avenues to generate revenue.
Right, so most people can't come right to Riverhead in the summer. I mean, this is
right.
The place
so
where everybody hangs
on by their fingernails. So as a small business owner, this is what I'm trying to do, is serve the local community.
Right, but you have that in common with every other small business owner in here, right?
Right, and we're generating revenue.
And chasing a past question of the staff, if Josh were coming here with a special permit application to provide third-party services, he's permitted to submit that. We don't have to agree with, but he could come in here and ask for a special use permit for purposes of providing third-party services for maintenance of vehicles.
He could submit for a special use permit, correct. Right. We would have to then evaluate it based on the criteria related to special use permit.
Okay. Right, everybody has used, right to ask for any use.
Okay. So you can come back to the Planning Commission otherwise and say, you know, I want to apply for a third-party maintenance on the vehicles with stipulations, whatever happens from that standpoint. There's a process to follow, correct?
There is a process.
Okay, that's all I want to know. There's a process. Okay.
Okay. Anything else, Pat?
I don't think so at this time. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Did you ask, Tom?
Thank you.
Well, he has a question.
I'm a man. I go back to one of the good things that my fellow commissioner brought up in your enumeration of bullet points there. All of the recommended services for the ATV UTV service manual, including electric, how big a waterfront is that?
What do you mean?
So it falls right under service. I'm servicing that vehicle. So when you, what was that?
These service manuals usually also have something to do with collision.
Okay.
You know, repair, engine rebuilds.
Correct.
Transmissions.
Yes.
You know, suspensions, modifications.
But I think we came to an agreement without a special use permit. That's not something that is permissible by the city.
So you would be just doing OEM repairs.
Correct.
And would look exactly the same when left.
It's a fine thing. Okay.
Then in the third element of your appeal, you add the phrase, I believe it's just added in number three, with approved service offerings to include workers and not be limited to. That language wasn't in item number one. And I'm on page 11 to 13 and 12 to 13.
Yes. So
what does that mean?
Yeah, so item number three
got it. What?
Things that aren't here you put in.
Well, item number three has to do with, again, what I understand, I'm sensing you don't agree with, but our interpretation of if you sell the part in the store, you can also install the part. And so that's why it's a larger subset of bullet points, because number three talks about selling the merchandise, the parts of merchandise, and selling the same, whereas number one only talks about servicing vehicles. And number one is also different because number one has to do with servicing the rental fleet.
Got it.
And number three has to do with general.
But what do the word approved service offerings mean? I don't know what that means.
So I'm trying to define the approved service offerings as the ones that are in the bullet points after the bullet points after number three. So if it was agreed to, those would be the approved service offerings.
So included but not limited to.
Right.
But it could be, that could be stricken from it.
So with approved service offerings and to include but not be limited to could both be stricken and make the language, if we're going that way, make language mirror like to number one.
Correct.
Except make it third party.
Correct. It could, yes, it could be the exact same language in number one.
Yeah, the only thing auto center ever sold me that they installed the windshield wiper blade.
Let me give you an example if I can answer that. If you went to your dealership and they told you I could sell you the rim, but I can't sell you the tire, I feel like this would be what we're doing, right?
Yeah, but they're a dealership, and whatever they're doing, we don't have one.
Or a service shop.
Oh, okay, but if it's a service shop, then you're going to start the use for it. See, that's the difference. And there is a difference between inventory and third party. And she gave you up for inventory?
people standing by.
Okay. But unfortunately, we have a code.
But it's all of our job is to do is not legislate, but just to basically follow the code.
Anything else from what was it discussing?
Excuse me.
Anything else?
Not right now, or is the town going to make a presentation?
No. Service grant.
Yes, I just wanted to say thank you for your time.
This time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
One last point.
Yes.
Counselor, on page 1 of 13, you gave the address of the business as being in Cave Creek, Arizona, and not Carefree.
It is a Cave Creek address. So it is a Cave Creek address, unfortunately, but it's
on the other address, correct?
Yes. Well, also the address that you search up the company on Google, that's how Google populates the address.
Yeah. Where your website says Carefree, Cave Creek.
Do you get your mail at the Cave Creek Post Office? Is that why it says that?
No, I get. I have a PO box with Carefree, but I have a Cave Creek business address.
Interesting.
It's quite confusing.
Yeah.
We are the border, so.
You're not on the border.
Well, you're
like
one
of those. You've got to live with us every day.
Okay, at this time, the
tax
rate will call Stacy Benback, the zoning administrator, to testify. Please state your name.
Stacy Bridge Benback, planning director and zoning administrator for the town of Carefree.
And are you personally familiar with the appeal of this matter from Mr. Josh Everyone?
I am.
Okay. And the packet that was put together is called a staff report that was submitted. Is that prepared principally by you?
Yes.
And under paragraph 2, under key items to consider, you state that the appellant is challenging the zoning administrator's assertion that Time to Ride is operating an illegal auto repair business in a commercial zoning district where such use is restricted. Specifically, Article 5, Roman number 5, uses allowed for zoning district, section 5.02, paren 21, paren, all items to be repaired shall be kept inside a completely enclosed building. Repair shop does not include servicing or repair of motor vehicles. That's your determination?
That is my determination.
And if I look a little bit further, states in your presentation that Mr. Awad is knowingly and intentionally operating a third-party repair shop and providing servicing and repair of motor vehicles, which are expressly prohibited under the town zoning regulations. Regardless of terminology, a repair shop is not allowed at this location. Now, that's your summary?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'd like you to go back to when this started, and there's been some testimony about the business license application that was submitted by the applicant on Time to Ride. Did you have those in your packet?
Thank
you. Did you recall some testimony about those a little while ago?
Yes, I did.
And will you look at those and tell me exactly what it is that was being requested of the town at the time of the submission of each one of those applications?
Well, the earlier applications primarily...
They.
Oh, sorry. So if we start with 2018 and 19, it talked about rentals. Let me make sure I've got the right application. 1819, rentals and the renting of the ATV, UTV, dirt bikes, jet skis, parts and service, and it did acknowledge retail sales as well. The 2020 and 2021, again, very similar retail sales service, but primarily discussed the rental business. And Lastly, though, however, the 2122 does not indicate retail sales. It just specifically states rentals off-road. So I'd like to correct what I had said before, where it does show some of the business licenses retail sales. The most recent one, it does not. I would also like to add that, again, as stated in my report, early on when we met with Mr. Awub, when he first brought his plans to town before he even considered renting any space, it was the then code enforcement officer, myself, and Mike Tibbett that all had discussions with him, and we were very clear that we understood the nature of his business being the ATV and UTV rentals and jet skis, that these would require maintenance and service at times in order to maintain that aspect of his business. But it was very clear that there would be no other repairs or any other type of business other than the rental aspect of the operations.
Was the phrase third-party rentals discussed?
No.
So your testimony said...
Oh, third-party rentals?
Third-party. The third-party aspect, was that discussed?
Yeah, we said it was discussed and we said that it would not be permitted.
You mean third-party repairs?
The third-party aspect. The third-party aspect of the business. Yeah.
Okay, and when you put together the email, there's a lot of email communications with, and Mr. Frazier was retained by Mr. Watt and entered his appearance. Did you start dealing with and negotiating with him?
Well, we tried to work through. So when the violation letter was issued, it was brought to the current code enforcement officer, and so then it's given to me, and so then we do an investigation on it. Up until that time and at that first meeting where it was the town engineer, the building official, Mike Tibbett, and myself, where we talked about that it was very clear that the rental aspect of his business was permitted in terms of servicing his fleet, but the other operations were not. And in my opinion, when Mr. Awad left, and again, this was before he hired or brought on his own legal counsel, was very clear on what the town's expectations were and what our concern was with respect to the violation. Or actually, there were violations, I should say.
After the June meeting that was being appealed from, were there any other meetings after that?
No, I think there was only the, let me go back to my timeline. The complaint was on December 16th, that's when the letter was dated, which we met with Mr. Awad early in the year. That was without Mr. Frazier. When we met again, it was January 26th, was the first time that Mr. Frazier joined us in the discussion. There were no meetings. I think there were times when Mr. Awad may have come into town to clarify some things, but there were no other formal meetings as we sat down together as we did prior to that. The discussion was primarily by email.
Okay, but you understand that the town's determination by you is the zoning administrator. It is appealed from today. You stated the 1st of June of this year. What is the date of the order that is being appealed from here?
We agreed that it was the June 1st.
Okay. And is it the town's position now, looking at the applicant or the appellee, if you can tell me, and looking at page 11 and 13, where they're asking for a detailed final order finding, and then you see paragraph 1,
mm-hmm.
and it spells out some service and maintenance of ATVs and UTVs, rental fleet.
And then there's some bullet points, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 bullet points. You see those?
Mm-hmm, I do.
And it's the town's position today, if the town is agreeable to those bullet points?
Well, we talked about bullet points on page 3 of 13 first. Filter.
We're going to go back to that. Get that.
I'm preparing them right now. So filter, battery, testing, fixing of glass, placement, analyzing house, yes, alignment, higher rotation. Electrical, I would say electrical diagnostics is something new. Compared to what I think, based on what we just discussed, is what we would say was acceptable to the maintenance portion of the of its own fleet.
So I just want to make sure, for clarification purposes, what is the town and zoning administrator agreeing to that was put on the record earlier in this afternoon? And what page and reference can you give to the Board of Adjustment Commissioners? So we can.
I believe we agreed to page 3 of 13, not this page 12 of 13, which has one additional item.
So, in summary, where you have claimed that Mr. Wood is knowingly and intentionally operating a third-party repair shop and providing services and repairs of motor vehicles, which are expressly prohibited under the town zoning regulations, near an agreement to modify that language somewhat to include the agreeable provisions on page 3?
Correct.
Okay, are we pretty much all on the same page now?
And that's all we have for them?
Phil's got a conference call at 7 o'clock, but he's got to become 4, and we don't have 4 if he leaves.
Oh, I told him we were going to be here until 9.
Yeah, so
I was trying to get an insurance agent on the phone. I'm going to be able to wind blow the roof off your house.
No, that's all we have. You want to clarify anything?
I would like to clarify just a couple of things.
What do you want to clarify?
Again, I just want to reiterate that there was a history with Mr. Awad, and I think it was an understood, and I think that the town was very open to discussing his business plans and agreeing to his plans as it pertained to his rental business. I think as his own legal counsel, he came into the mix and started discussing things that we already did agree upon prior to his involvement, that is now kind of exacerbated and sort of thrown, in my opinion, this discussion into a place where it wasn't a part of the discussion or a part of the original violation letter that, in my opinion, Mr. Awad was very clear about and understood. This was never about parts and sales. This was about a rental business, and it was about helping a business owner have that type of business in town, which then became something else that is against the town's ordinance.
Anything else?
Yeah, it's just one question. Is Ms. Church gets it in return? That's something she just testified about, so that's on point. With regard to the 3 business applications, I know you testified earlier about the checkbox for 2 of them saying retail sales, and you just mentioned the third one, 2021 does not have it. But will you, referencing the 3 applications, is the 2019 one, or sorry, the 2021, does it have the box check that says check here, if there are no changes from last year, fill in blue box above and sign at bottom?
Oh, I can see that check.
Does it also have that check on the 2021 version to the most recent business application?
It does.
Okay. Thank you. That's it. Thank you very much for your time.
Questions from the Board of Adjustment Commissioner?
Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out what we agreed to here. There's a difference between the list on page, as you just pointed out, Councilor, thank you. There's a difference between page 3 and page 11 of 13. On page 3, we, for example, include oil changes, but there's no oil changes specifically enumerated on page 11.
Can we get Ms. Brzezinski to specify exactly what the town is willing to allow, and then we can vote on it?
Allow for whom? She said parties? She said page 3. Was there that?
No, yes. Sorry. We testified about that.
And she said page 3, right?
And we're in agreement with that. The list on page right. 3 of 13.
The 8 bullets.
Okay.
For rental fleet. Just for the rental fleet.
Right. And then, is there a conflict between. The prohibited on page 3 is major structural work. Page 11, we say that we can do superficial.
Does major structural work involve welding? Is that the difference?
So, I mean, it's RV welding is not allowed without the special use.
Right. I mean, can we kind of agree on this? And if you guys need more, you can come back and apply for a special use permit?
Yes.
Is that agreeable to the town?
I'm sorry.
That we have kind of come to an agreement about what they can do right now, but if they want to do more, they can come back for a special use permit.
Well, that's what we're trying to determine today, and you're going to determine that with respect to an
order.
Right, but I need to ask if what is agreeable.
Can we move
whether
on
whether they
to
start
that?
In the morning or not, it's not relevant.
Right, but can we move on to that and get a motion to agree to what we've agreed to, and if they want more, they can come back later for a special use permit, or does that?
Well, you don't mix the two. Please don't mix the two.
Okay.
Forget about the special use permits for that.
Okay.
Concentrate on what is Board of Adjustment ruling.
Right, are
they going to affirm the town administrator? Are they going to reverse her? Or are they going to modify? So you guys have to decide that. And if you need to take a few minutes to deliberate in private, you're allowed to do that, and we'll go into the executive session. Or you can do it right there.
Well, it sounds like there have been some compromises that everybody is comfortable with.
Very, very much so. I agree with that. I think
am I understanding that correctly?
Yes.
Okay. Well, can I call for a motion now? To approve the planning director's decision with the modifications included.
No, we need to spell those out.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, you have to spell out. What is the agreement, please?
Could you spell it out for me?
Okay.
Well, it's not a council meeting, so it's not just me being dumb.
No, no, no. I guess what I'm trying to understand is if you're feeling that you're concluding that, I mean, from my perspective and from what we've discussed, is that the town is amenable to the bullet point items on page 3 of 13 of Mr. Frazier's document to continue for his own rental fleet only.
So a motion might be that I move to reverse the, want to make sure council is, I move, because we're stuck in your appeal, I move to reverse the zoning administrator's June 1st, 2022 decision with respect to inventory, home fleet, for service or repair of the elements that are listed on page 313.
Right, and what Michael Wright would like us to do is that oil changes, filter changes, battery testing, cleaning, and replacement, testing and replacing brake pads and brake fluid, fixing or replacing exterior glass, plastic windshields, windows, etc., and fixing superficial damage to the exterior of the vehicle, analyzing engine health, including check engine lights, spark plugs, serpentine belts, and radiator hoses, alignments and suspension services, and tire rotation, balancing, repair, and replacement. What would be prohibited, including with this fleet, would be sale of gasoline, rebuilding of motors, welding, and any major structural work.
So moved.
I move.
All right, I'll second it. With the secondary interpretation on top of his motion, I'll second it.
Okay, I'd like to call for a vote.
Any discussion?
Discuss.
We call the question. We would entertain a motion to adjourn.
We haven't voted. Aye.
Motion to adjourn.
Any objection to adjourn?
No. Okay. We have to vote on that, guys.
Aye.
Dave.
Oh, aye. Congratulations, you did it. Keep it going. I think we can do it. I'll be able to do it. My entrepreneurship support.
Thank you.
I'm going to become president of TV, so I'm